Want to welcome you on Facebook too, those of you that probably wanted to be here and could not. We want to welcome you all. If you've got your Bibles, we're going back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we started there. We got a little ways. We began at 9 again last week, and we got a little ways. I want to go there again this morning, Living Without Hypocrisy, part 2, I guess I have called this. I love that last song, Ancient Words Ever True. Friends, I'm telling you, you spend some time in here and it will change you. Amen? That's what we just sung. It will change you. The Spirit of God through the Word of God, having faith in the Son of God, will change you. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, I'm reading again from the New Living Translation, so it's really, really easy to understand. Last week we looked at 9 and 10. 9 and 10 said six things. It said, don't just pretend to love others. This is the Apostle Paul challenging the church of Rome. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Then tucked in the middle of those two chapters, he said, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Pastor Charles prayed that earlier. And then he said, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. That's good advice for the church. All of it. And then we looked at 11. The New Living Translation says it this way, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. If you remember, in the first part of this chapter, he talks about the spiritual giftedness that each of us has when we claim Christ as Lord. There is a gift given to us, and here Paul says, don't be lazy about that. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. And I said this last week, I'm just reiterating as I'm moving forward into what we're going to get to. I said this, any one person cannot and should not be trying to do everything. I'll use Pastor Kenny's Christian school analogy. One person cannot run it. And it's the same in the church. One pastor is not the church. And so as I look at what the Apostle Paul said, to serve the Lord enthusiastically, I said this, any one person cannot and should not be trying to do everything. That is not God's intention with spiritual gifts. And what Jesus says and Paul says, to be faithful and diligent and passionate and serving the Lord enthusiastically when we have been given these gifts, we are to work hard and serve him enthusiastically. Charles and I were discussing this last week just a little bit, the word lazy, because that's the word the New Living Translation used. And Charles was reminding me, it's a good reminder, that word also means not to be doing our work for the Lord in a half-hearted manner. Too often times we want to give God if we have any left over. And when Paul says here in this never be lazy translation, we must take that to remember when we have been given this opportunity to serve, whatever that is, it might be serving somebody else, but when we have given that opportunity to do what God has given us to do, let us not do in a half-hearted attempt. Makes sense to me. That's as far as we got last week, and I want to press on from some follow-up verses. But if you would allow me to mention a couple of things that I read this week that are regarding to what I said last week, it'll tie things together further from what the Apostle Paul said. He said in the New Living Translation, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. And I challenge us from Isaiah chapter 5 when I reminded us what Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Remember that, friends. Do we have to go back and revisit all of that? We remember? Okay. That's what Paul said, and I reminded us from Isaiah. And I also told us this last week. When we don't carefully distinguish good from evil, destruction will follow. Think of that through the nation a little bit. When we do not carefully distinguish good from evil, destruction will follow. That's in your family, in your home, individual walk with Christ, in a nation, in a church. If we cannot distinguish good from evil, destruction will follow. And so I was reading this week some headlines. The first one comes from Christian Post that was originally posted in LifeSite News. Here's the title. Babies could be killed 28 days after birth under this new proposed Maryland law. That was the title. So I thought, that's kind of interesting. Sounds like evil to me. And yet we're proposing that as good in Senate Bill 669 in Maryland. The title of the bill is this, Pregnant Persons Freedom Act. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? When Paul said, I gave you another translation last week, detest what is evil, he meant it. Hate what is wrong and cling to what is good, people of God, he meant it. And so I read through that article, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I mentioned last week, we celebrate in state legislatures now, we have allowed in certain states to take the life of a baby the day before it could be delivered. We celebrate that. And then I read this, and in the long and the short of it, here's what the bill is. And I quote from the article from a lawyer. In other words, a baby born alive and well could be abandoned, left to starve, left to freeze, left on its own, the lawyer writes, and nothing could be done to punish those who participated in the death of the baby. That's the long and the short of it. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. I will get to some other verses here in a minute. I hope we'll have time for that today, but I thought this is so relevant and goes along with what Paul reminds us in this verse. I just wanted to share. The next article I read this week, the title is called Evil Called Good. That intrigued me. So, as I read in The Vine and the Branches this week, here's what it said, and I quote, on January 8th, a new Canadian law, Bill C-4, was passed, which bans conversion therapy. You know what conversion therapy is? This is defined as practice or treatment or service designed to help a person, to help change a person's sexual orientation back to heterosexual. That's conversion therapy. I told you last week there are cities in this nation that have banned that. They have made laws and said you cannot help that struggling person with the Word of God. And so I read this week, from the Vine of the Branches magazine that on January 8th, the entire nation to our north passed a bill that said this, and I quote, "Pastors across the nation of Canada are now banned from giving sermons about sexuality from a biblical basis or giving counsel to anyone who is asking for help with unwanted same-sex attraction." In other words, it's against the law across the border to say, "I can help you," from the word, the ancient words we just sang about. That's against the law in our neighbors to the north. The next story I read was this title, "Drag Queen Story Hour Goes to Church." This was all this week. And I quote, "This past December, the idea of having a drag queen story hour for children moved beyond the typical libraries, bookstores, and schools where it shares its ideology. The St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Chicago, ELCA, became the newest outlet for queer theology." Two other articles I read. One is called "After School Satanic Clubs." I don't need to give you any more. I think you get the flavor. "After School Satanic Clubs." The other one, the title is "Hillsong Church Founder Brian Houston Resigns After Revelation of Misconduct." If you've been following with the whole Hillsong phenomenon, you've seen that there are great highs and there are great lows. Here's another great low. Never a week goes by when I read in the Christian Post, it seems like, that another pastor has not fallen to sexual improprieties or some kind of misconduct. Hardly a week goes by. Do you remember what I said last week and I said earlier today? If we do not carefully distinguish good from evil, destruction will follow. You still with me? Having read the article about the founder, who's from Australia, my heart was grieved, and I come away thinking, if we claim the name of Jesus, and we put ourselves in compromising situations like this pastor did, it's in the article, motel room with someone that wasn't his wife, both of them under the influence, you cannot draw near to God in those kinds of circumstances. Are you hearing me this morning? James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You cannot draw near to God when you put yourself in that kind of a place. Leading a world church and in a motel room under the influence with someone that's not your wife, you cannot draw near to God in that. When we don't carefully distinguish good from evil, destruction will follow. Do you see now, friends, why Paul said to the church in Rome, detest what is evil and cling to what is good? Do you see now what he says it? We have to distinguish. We have to discern good from evil. How in the world of sin that we live in and in challenge and temptation, how in the world are we going to cling to what is good? For one thing, the ancient words we just sung about needs to be lived out. Amen. To have this sitting on the coffee table collecting dust isn't doing us any good. To put ourselves in compromising positions is not going to go well. If I don't move on, we're not going to get any more verses, so I'm going to try to move on. But I'm going to tell you two more headlines that I read. I'm just going to give you the headline. Fewer than half of Americans pray daily. That doesn't surprise me, by the way. It's a tragedy, but fewer than half of Americans pray daily. And this one, listen closely to this title. I read this article too, heartbreaking. Here's the title: Christian leaders, please do not publicly celebrate your liberty to drink. Now you can just imagine, you can read it on Christian Pulse from last week, but too oftentimes we say we have this liberty, we have this freedom, I can do whatever, and so we find then we must write articles that says, Christian leaders, please do not publicly celebrate your liberty to drink. Heartbreaking. What good is going to come from if I go out and publicly drink and then come up the next day and claim the name of Jesus? What good is that going to do? Detest what is evil, cling to what is good, is what Paul told us last week. I read every one of these articles this week, and I thought, man, oh man, does that fit? Does that hit the nail on the head what Paul just told us? I was asked this week a question about last week's sermon. Brother comes into my office and was somewhat exasperated. What am I supposed to do? You talked about pornography and abortion, sex trafficking, all this stuff, and I understand the cling to what is evil and differentiate between good and evil. And he said, so what are we supposed to do? And my fourfold reply was very simply, first of all, don't start and participate in sin. Number two, pray. Number three, about these things, I said, we have elected officials that live right here as close as Brainerd. State senators that live right here as close as Brainerd, talk to your senators about sex trafficking, pornography, abortion, and these atrocities that are around us. And number four, get involved, like an Abby Johnson. Anybody know Abby Johnson? Unplanned. Is that the movie? Jess, is that an Unplanned? Abby Johnson, if you haven't watched Unplanned, you need to watch it. She worked for Planned Parenthood. She was a division leader. She saw what happened to real human life, and she said, no more am I going to stand for that. And she now is advocating before the Senate in Texas and before the Senate in the United States Senate about the value of life in the womb. We can become an Abby Johnson also. We can detest what is evil. So that was my very quick fourfold answer to him. Now, shall we move on to the next verse? Paul says this to the church of Rome: rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. New Living Translation. Three things tucked into one verse. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. Oh, the beauty of the blessed hope that is ours in Christ. Amen? Do you have the hope, friends? Do you have the hope? That's what he's talking about, the hope of Christ. The hope that is ours when we claim Christ as Lord, when we surrender our lives to the Son of God. And when we do, there is hope no matter of our circumstances. Another translation says, affliction. And it's got this hope and affliction back and forth. And we will go through some trouble. We will go through some persecution. We will go through some affliction. We will go through death and tragedy and COVID and cancers and all of it. The world will see to it. But in Christ, we have a hope that transcends all of that. And that's what he's talking about. Rejoice in that hope that you have in Jesus. Friends, listen to me real good. If you don't know Christ, you don't have any hope for tomorrow. You don't have any hope for eternity. Eternity depends on Jesus. No hope without Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? It's that serious. If I do not know Christ, if I have not surrendered to him, I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about I've moved my head knowledge to here, 18 inches. I have trusted him. I have surrendered to him. I'm going to follow Christ. And when I do, I have a hope no matter what the devil throws at me. Are you hearing me this morning? That's what he's talking about. You say, Jimmy, you don't know what I've been going through. I've been going through COVID, and I've been going through cancer, and I've been going through deaths, and I've been going through this and that. With Christ, there is always hope beyond the stuff that the enemy and the world throws at us. That's what he's talking about. And he reminds us, Church of Rome, Church of the 21st century, rejoice in that hope that is Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Then he says, be patient in trouble. I wondered, what's that supposed to mean? Who's patient in trouble? Anybody? That's what I thought. Me either. But that's what he's telling the church. Be patient in trouble. Be patient in tribulation. Be patient in affliction. Be patient in pressures. How am I supposed to do that? With the hope of Jesus. I looked up that word patience, and thanks to Jennifer helping me pronounce the Greek word. The Greek word for patient there is hypomanentes, something like that. I don't do Greek that very well. I have enough trouble with English. But it means be steadfast, have some endurance. That's what it means. And so when he says be patient in trouble, in other words, friends, what Paul is saying here, when you and I are struggling, and we will. Remember what Jesus said? I think it's John 6:33. You will have trouble. Who remembers that? Oh, yeah, it's real. But be of good cheer, he said, because I have overcome the world. In the world, you will have trouble. You say, Jim, you telling me when I commit my life, everything isn't going to be perfect. Jesus said it ain't going to be perfect. Will I be bound for glory? Will I have a confident hope? Yes. I will, but there will be trouble. The enemy will see to it. There will be trouble. And Paul says, be patient in that trouble. Hang in there. Because with God, with his spirit and the body of believers, some of you which have the gift of comfort and serving, you will make it. You will make it. I just got done reading Job for my devotions just in the last couple mornings. There was some need for hanging in there in the book of Job. There was some need for hanging in there. There was some need for being patient in trouble. Did he have questions for God? He did. But he never turned his back on God. Hang in there, Paul is telling us. Lastly, in that same verse, keep on praying. Let me ask you, friends, how often do you labor and travail in prayer? Keep on praying, Paul says. In another book, he says, travail in prayer. How often are we laboring and travailing in prayer? How often are we crying out to God in prayer? Maybe even with some fasting. Jesus says, when you fast, not if, but when. How often are we travailing in prayer? How often are we crying out to the Almighty in prayer? There's so many things to pray about. And the church, that we should be praying daily for the salvation of souls. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Hell is one breath away from every person that hasn't surrendered to Christ. Does that keep you up at night? Hell is real. Are you hearing me? Hell is talked about in the Bible by Jesus as often or more than heaven. And followers of Christ, we should be praying for the unsaved. You say, Jim, I don't want to be that judgmental. You don't have to be. We're not asked to judge. God does the judging. But there is a harvest field that needs prayer. There's a harvest field around us, and we should be praying. I pray, I told you this before, I pray every day for the salvation of souls in this town and these communities and this nation and the world. Every day. Because hell is real. His church should be praying for revival. That's us. We should be praying for chances to use our gifts. Are you hearing me? We all have a gift. I told you that first part of this chapter 12. If we've been born of God, you have a spiritual gift. We should be praying for opportunities to use them. That's what we should be doing. There's so much scripture, so much scriptural directive to pray, friends. We must be people of prayer. If we're functioning without praying as a church, as an individual, we're missing the power. We need to be people of prayer. That's why he says, keep on praying. If you don't have a scheduled prayer time every day, friends, you heard the article, half of Americans don't bother. And some of them will claim to be Christians. If you don't have a scheduled time of prayer, may I urge you, find one every day to cry out to God, to give him praise, to give him thanks, to bring your petitions to him. Cry out to God every day. I want to say two things about that. I want to ask us, because I've had conversation with some, are we praying before we act, or are we acting and then praying? Because we should be praying before we act. We should be asking for God's leading in everything we do. Everything. The God of the universe, you might think, well, he just cares about the big things like the starving kids in Africa and the battle in Ukraine. He cares about your decision in the next hour. We should be bringing it all to him. And so to embark on, whether a church or whether an individual or whether a nation, to embark on a decision or a journey and then say, God, this is where I'm headed, come on along and go ahead and bless me, is the wrong approach. The approach should be, Father, how do you want me to proceed? Will you guide me in this? And so our action should follow our prayers instead of the other way around. And let me say one more thing about praying. Humbly, let me say this. If we, you, I, or anybody else claiming the name of Jesus is still living in sin, sin is still defining my life, it's still controlling my life, it's still determining my life. If that's how we're living, your prayers won't be heard. I'll give you two scriptures. You can write them down. I don't have time. I'm not going to get any further this week than I did last week, but I'm going to give you two scriptures if you don't believe me. Psalm 66:18 for starters. If I am living in sin, if I'm disregarding the sin of my life, thinking I can have some of the broad road and some of the narrow all at the same time, your prayers won't be heard. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord cannot hear. Does that mean he physically cannot hear? Oh, he can hear. He's omnipresent. But if I am living in sin, and disregarding the ways of God from the Word of God, your prayers will not be answered. Isaiah 1:15 is another one you can read. He says, you can lift up your hands all day long and make many prayers, I will not hear. Why? Because there's sin in your life. You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. You want your prayers answered? Paul said to keep on praying. It starts with repentance. Clean up the sin and the dross and have a clear pathway to the holy God. The shed blood of Jesus made that pathway possible. But we continue to flounder in sin and enjoy it, and the world's allures and temptations don't plan on your prayers being answered. Deal with sin first. God will not bless sin. He is holy, and He will not bless sin. I love 1 John 1:9. You know what it says. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I say hallelujah. But that doesn't give us a license to go back and sin. We just looked at Romans chapter 6. Paul said, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, no, I shall not. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. Well, if you looked at the clock, you would think time is up. And I didn't get very far. And I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to go on vacation. Brother Charles will be bringing the word for you. So I guess we're going to have to take another break here. Then it's the Easter season. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Amen? We're going to celebrate the empty tomb. There's a lot more Paul has got to say in that 12th chapter of Romans to us in the church. There's a lot more, and it's really, really good. I want you to take a look at it this week and just ask the Lord by His Spirit to reveal to you, what is it you want me to learn from this, Lord? I'm going to be on vacation, but I'm not ever completely out of touch. I got to make myself a note here to know where I ended up because we didn't get very far. I will, in fact, be delivering babies, not of the human kind, but of the sheep kind. So if you need something, you text me. And between delivering babies and feeding bottle babies, I'll get back to you, but I'm not going to be here for a couple of weeks. I'll try to come worship with you next Sunday, but I'm going to try to take some vacation and take care of some sheep for my dad and myself. But I'll tell you this, when you send me a text like I got just 2 nights ago, I was on the farm. I'd just been out in the barn, and I got back, and for the next hour and a half, literally 90 minutes, I answered two men, two states. One of them said to me very directly, I knew this person, knew him well a long time ago, very directly said, I'm going to hell. I will answer that text. I don't care if I'm on vacation or not. So back and forth between that dialogue, and I said, there's good news. Nobody has to. Nobody has to. But we will if we don't get right with God through faith in Christ. You say, Jim, I go to church. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's what I told him. If we don't get right with God through faith in the risen Christ, we will go to hell. Just like he said, Jim, I'm going to hell. Then repent of sin, believe on the Lord Jesus, receive Him by faith, and commit to follow Him, and you will go to heaven. The other text took a long time too, but I'll answer you if you send me a text. I want you to be ready for heaven if eternity should come up today. But otherwise, I'm going to be out of the office for a couple of weeks. You're in good hands. Hopefully, I can come to worship with you next Sunday and the next, and someday we'll get back into Romans chapter 12. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to ask us to think about this before we leave here today. What if today is it? What if today is it? What if I died tonight? Am I en route to heaven or hell? Have you crowned Christ Lord of all? Because if you're here this morning and you're not sure, I want to ask you, please, please consider calling upon the name of Jesus. Repent of sin, believe in him as Lord, receive him by faith, and commit to follow him. Another day could be too late. If you're here this morning, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you're not sure, but you want to be sure, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I do want to pray with you, though, and I want you to acknowledge I need a Savior. Father, thank you for providing to us salvation through your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for living, for ministering, and dying all for us. Thank you for being the way to the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for being the way to heaven. Thank you, you have made it very possible for us. But we need to understand, we need to recognize that we are sinful people. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to understand we're in the sin category. We need to repent of that. We need to come to you by faith, and we need to repent first and foremost and get the sin dealt with. And we need to embrace Christ by faith as Lord. We need to crown him Lord of all. And Father, if perhaps there's somebody watching today or somebody standing here today that has never done that, I pray, oh God, they wouldn't let the day go by till they come to you by faith and surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus, crying out, Jesus, forgive me, save me, I want to follow you. I pray that today is a day of salvation for someone in this church or this community, this region, but certainly hundreds of someones in this state. Go with us today, Father. Help us to be keenly aware that evil lurks all around us. Help us to be keenly aware we have been bought with a price. We belong to you. We are yours. And help us to be soldiers, commissioned, commanded, and marching in the Lord's army to love our neighbors, to use our gifts, to be a holy people, to be confident in the hope that we have in Christ, to be people of prayer, and having put on Christ, even people that are patient in tribulation. Go with each one this day, Father. I pray and ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.